Hello, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the first official edition of the Next Man Up podcast. This was formerly the Lojo Wo Show channel on YouTube, as well as the Spotify, which you can still access those if you're a big fan of that. But I am Jacob Roth of the formerly of the Jacob Roth Show, alongside Logan Wortman of the Lojo Wo podcast. And we're here, episode one, officially, baby.
Mm-hmm. We made it.
Mama, I made it.
Yeah. Really excited for this. We've talked about it the last few episodes, kind of said all there needs to be said about that, but yeah, like, since this is the first episode, I'll just give an introduction. I'm Logan. I like basketball. I'm a Nuggets fan, really just kind of Denver sports fan for some reason, even though I live in Nebraska. But yeah, I'm a big basketball guy, and then Jacob is who he's about to tell you he is.
Yeah, I am Jacob. I am a football guy before, and both of us kind of like the other sports. I'd say I'm probably a little bit more well-rounded in terms of all sports because I'm going to school for it,
but
I'm definitely a football first guy, basketball second. I'm a big fan of Boston sports teams. So New England Patriots, Boston Celtics are my big two. And if someone like were to hold me at gunpoint and say, pick a favorite hockey team and baseball team, I'd probably say Bruins and Red Sox, but I'm not that invested. So yeah, that was a little bit kind of deep for no real reason. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll definitely start off. Today is Monday, October 5th, in case anybody was wondering.
In the year of our Lord, 2020 for the year.
Yep, so right in the middle of the bubble finals, which will, I'm guessing, hopefully be the only bubble finals ever. I'd rather not want another one, but yeah. I guess the world might just keep getting crazier and crazier. But Jimmy Butler had a very insane, absolutely ridiculous game last night. 40-point triple-double.
Full-grown man.
Yeah. Yeah. He basically was in control of, like, every single aspect of the game. He was scoring, defending at a high level. Like, he was some of the best help defense I've ever seen from a player, just completely all over the place, just really wanted the win. Like that, I feel like that's how you could sum up his play from last night, is he just wanted to win. Basically, every single play down the stretch, he was either scoring or assisting on it. Yeah, I don't know if it's sustainable for this series, but if Jimmy Butler is going to keep playing somewhat like this, I think we do have a series on our hands, to be honest.
No, that was wild. Like, 40 points, shoot it. And it wasn't just the 40 points. Like, he got to the line efficiently, 12 for 14 from the line, 14 for 20 from the field. Like, that's about as efficient as you're going to get if you're taking a decent-ish amount of shots.
That's grown man stuff,
A grown man. And also, Jimmy Butler, like, is a guy. He's a dude. So he'll, like, yeah, he's doing good, and he's like, he said, what comment did he say that all these Laker fans are going, what did he say? I can't remember what he said. Anyway, the point is, do you remember, Logan,
exactly what he said? Yeah, I don't know what quote you're talking about. Was it when he was talking smack in the game?
I think so. I can't remember what he said, but all these Laker little stands are running to Twitter with their little chubby little feet. Running to Twitter going, oh, well, remember that one time that Jamal Murray danced and then we beat them in five? And remember the one time when Dame danced and we beat them in five? Like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. And the Russell talk smack one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. My favorite one, though, is somebody, like, tweeted back at, like, all these Lakers fans expect you to play like this. And it's that picture of just Kawhi Leonard with no emotion on his face dunking the basketball when he was with the Spurs. Like, that's what Lakers fans expect you to play basketball like if you're playing the Lakers, or else you lose in five. That's what happens. But Jimmy Butler, a full-grown dude, he, like Jimmy Butler was the highlight, but, like, Kelly Olynyk, low-key, has been nice for them.
No, for real. This game, honestly, I think he was better this game than last game. Numbers wise, he was hotter yesterday or last game, but in game two.
Yeah, but, 5 for 9, 3 for 5 from the 3-point lane, and then 4 for 4 on free throws.
Yeah, for sure. But he like could not defend anything in game two. Anthony Davis was just completely ripping the heart out of anybody that was defending him. In this game, he actually provided a lot on both ends. Like, he was holding down his own on that side of the ball, especially helped a lot of just what they were throwing at Anthony Davis early on in the game, which was like a bunch of weird double teams and just people drawing fouls on him, just kind of irritating him in a way that he hasn't had that kind of stuff thrown at him yet in this playoff run. And Scott Foster was just kind of quick to blow the whistle on him. Like, so he got picked up 3 fouls in the first quarter, and that was huge for this game. Him really being kind of neutered from just being in foul trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. But the thing is, the big thing, so, like, the Bam Adebayo, the Heat, so that, like, game one was terrible, but the Heat had some guys get hurt. They had Dragic go out, but it's looking like Dragic might not come back. But Bam wants to play. Like, Bam wants to be back. And so, I think that's going to be another. So, this whole Jimmy Butler, if he plays like this sustainable, this is going to be a great series. Like, it's going to be. Like, that's wild. But if Bam comes back, that's going to change a lot of how this. If the Heat keep this little bit of momentum they built. I mean, it was one game. They got one game in, but, like, I'm really excited to see just kind of what goes down, because this could be a really good series, or the Lakers could just squash the hopes and dreams of Miami fans next game. I don't really know.
Yeah, I think you could, you know, some fans might be looking at this as kind of a fluke game, like, oh, the Heat just had a good game.
Yeah.
They're up, you know, that's the only game they're really going to get. And the reason why I don't necessarily think I agree with that is because as a team, they were not very hot at all.
They were terrible. No, they were atrocious. Outside of, if you remove Jimmy Butler and, weirdly enough, Kelly Olynyk,
yeah.
No one else shot Miles Leonard, but he had 7 points.
Yeah.
But, like, anybody that took double-digit shots was under 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Jay Crowder, 5 for 12, 2 for 8 from 3. Duncan Robinson, 4 for 12, 3 from 10 from 3. Tyler Hero, 6 for 18, 2 from 7 from 3. And then Olynyk, but, like, no one was really that took substantial shots really did anything. Like, Jimmy Butler and Kelly Olynyk were super good.
Yeah, no, they just played really good defense. And honestly, you can expect either Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson to have another hot game or two. You know, tonight I don't think really reflected what they're going to be like the rest of the series.
Yeah, last night definitely did not, like, at all.
Oh, yeah, last night. But, yeah, so I think the Heat definitely could get another win. This could go 6, like, especially if Bam comes back and if Jimmy stays aggressive. You know, one worry I would have if I was a Heat fan is if Bam comes back, Jimmy might be, like, kind of passive a little bit, kind of giving up the share of the load a little bit more to Bam Adebayo, which, you know, in some stretches in the second or third quarter, I think is okay for Bam to be kind of the primary ball handler in some sequences. But, like, Jimmy down the stretch needs to do what he did last night.
No, for sure.
For them to close. They closed great. Like, I was watching the game. You know, I was always pretty scared. You know, even though the Heat were up by, like, 4 or 5 at the beginning of the first or at the fourth quarter. At the beginning of the fourth quarter. I was still pretty nervous that they would not be able to hold on to that lead just because of the firepower that the Lakers have.
Yeah.
But they just closed really well. Like, Hero, that's where Hero finally, you know, started showing up and making timely shots there at the end. And Jimmy Butler was just, honestly, had one of the best games in finals history.
It was.
And he capped it off there in the fourth quarter.
And we've kind of talked about this in, I guess technically it was episodes of the Lojo Woe podcast. Or Lojo Woe show, but, like, how, like, there's some games that just because that team didn't win, they won't get talked about. This is a game that, like, if the Heat win, Jimmy Butler will be, he'll be a clip in front of every NBA game showing highlights of the past.
He'll be a Hall of Fame lock, I think. If they win this series after him having that kind of game 3, I think he's a lock for the Hall of Fame.
No, like, it's that big of a deal. But if it loses, it'll kind of just fade away into, like, obscurity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, guys like us might not forget it, or guys that really pay attention. But, like, it'll be like, oh, man. It's like Isaiah Thomas's season where he averaged 30 a game.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't win. So people, like, it's like, oh, wow, that's wild. I forgot he averaged almost 30 a game, like 29.6.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's not something that's like, holy crap, Isaiah Thomas, what the heck? Because they didn't win anything. And I feel like that could be the same type of thing that happens in this Jimmy Butler game, unless it's, like, some legendary finals or the Heat end up winning it somehow. Which, if the Heat end up winning it, it is a pretty legendary finals.
Yeah,
because it just looks so bad, and then...
Mm-hmm. And for the Heat to win this series, I think there's going to have to be some, like, a lot of blame placed on either AD or LeBron. Like,
one of them. It's going to go to AD, and I don't think it should.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it depends on what the next few games look like, but...
Well, I think it'll get put on AD because there's all the LeBron stands out there.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's true. Somebody was like, well... Because it's been the thing is, how much does AD have to do to overcome, like, LeBron getting Finals MVP? Like, that shouldn't be the conversation. It should be, when comparing the two, because AD, until last game where he got three early fouls, looked crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, it's... Honestly, the real blame should not be put on LeBron or AD. The real blame should go to the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys, or 9 guys that see the court that are Lakers, because they're the reason this team is not terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody except for Markieff Morris. Honestly. Wow. Markieff Morris has had a really good series so far.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, if he falls off, then yeah, sure, but he's been 100 for them.
So. And our friend Anthony sent us one of those change.org petitions. That Kyle Kuzma shouldn't get a ring if the Lakers win. I signed it. I've never signed anything for change.org. I went and signed that Kyle Kuzma should not get a ring. He had 19 on Sunday night, so I guess maybe he does more than I think. And I don't fervorously watch Lakers basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, I watch games when they're on, but like I don't like actively seek out like, oh man, that 3 o'clock game on Tuesday, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I guess I don't even know if that exists in the NBA because I just only watch the night games most of the time. But like, I don't actively seek out games like that, and so I don't see Kuzma. I only see Kuzma in primetime games, which just seems to be where he can't really do anything.
Mm. Yeah, I think with Kuzma, he kind of goes in and out of like, some days he's like, he has a really good game scoring, and he's like, that's what I am. I'm a spark plug ISO scorer. Like, he'll kind of like say something like that in a post game interview. And then earlier in this playoffs, I remember he had like a good night defensively, and he was like, you know, that's what I am for this team in this playoff run. You know, I'm not a scorer. I'm not a scorer. I just I play hard on D, and that's my job. I'm just a lockdown defender for this team. And really since then, he's been like the target on the Lakers defense for teams to switch on to, and kind of humiliate because
I almost bet money that LeBron like is like kicking himself. He's like, we should have sent him Kyle. I want Brandon back.
yeah, that would have been.
Okay, also, hindsight's really hard. And Brandon Ingram, I don't think, could have thrived in L.A. Like, I just don't think that would have worked.
Yeah.
I think he does better with the small market. That's getting off the court, like, and into a whole big old can of worms that I'm not qualified to talk on because I didn't really look into it at all. But I'm also not Brandon Ingram, so I don't know if that's actually like how he feels, if he felt the pressure of LA was too great or not. So I don't know because I'm not him. But Kyle Kuzma is a disappointment, and Lakers fans should be disappointed that they all bandwagoned on him so hard.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I guess this is actually our first time talking about the finals in any capacity, let alone Game 3. But yeah, so the first two games were just easily in Lakers' favors. Game 2 is better than Game 1. And I think in Game 2, the Heat showed that they're capable of scoring on this Lakers defense. You know, they put up some pretty big numbers. Like, it wasn't really that much of a stomping into the ground like Game 1 was. But it was pretty clear the whole time that Lakers had the edge.
No, for sure. Like, the score... Well, in game one, I think a big part, and I'm not trying to give the Heat an excuse, losing Bam and Dragic would really, like, just even, like, the plan you had going into the game. Mm-hmm. Switching a game plan mid-game is not easy to do.
Yep.
And so, like, that's something that I could see with game one. But game two was not as ugly as game one, but it still wasn't a good game to watch at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole time, like, you could tell the Lakers were in control. Yeah, for sure.
I came out to Lincoln this weekend, and I watched the game with you guys. By the end of the game, we weren't even watching. We were just talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'd gotten past the point of actually watching the game. Well, I mean, it was in the background, and you'd glance over and be like, oh, that was a nice this, that was a... But, like, nothing about the game was like, oh, man, I'm invested. Let's focus on the game, because it just wasn't... But then Sunday's game was a different story.
Yeah, different story, for sure. For sure. And the Heat had control of that game the whole time, really.
Yeah. No, I think they outscored, 26 to 23 first quarter, 32 to 31. They always had the lead coming in out of the quarters, I guess. Not necessarily the
I think the Lakers had, like, a two-point lead once or twice throughout the game. Once was definitely in, like, with 8 minutes left in the fourth. It was, like, 91-89. But, yeah, since then, they didn't. They were down, but, yeah.
The largest lead was 4 for the Lakers. Okay. So, like, it was just – it was never a really big Lakers advantage there. The Heat kind of were in control the whole time, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm glad, Jacob, that we have a series to watch now.
I am.
At least somewhat, you know. Coming into it, we were both talking about how this is the most excited we've been –
for a finals.
Yeah, and then it just turned out to be really ugly, game one and two. Three is a sign of change. Change this to come in this series. So. Yeah.
I was hoping we'd get games like game three for 7 games.
Yeah,
because exactly. Even though the Heat did pull away at the end, the Lakers were never out of it. You never felt like, oh, this is over for the Lakers like you did for the Heat in games one and two. Like, it was just a good game to watch. Obviously, there's been better games. Cough, game 6 of the Toronto Celtics series. But, it was just good, and I'm glad that we finally have something to watch. Even if Lakers win, hopefully they're close ones. You know what I mean? Like, even if the Lakers win in 5 and the Heat don't get another win, hopefully they keep it close and it's a decent type of thing, you know?
Yeah, true. So I guess that can be it for finals talk. And we'll move on to other news around the NBA, unless you have something else. Yeah.
Before we jump, what's your prediction for tomorrow night?
You see, I could definitely see the Lakers just being really mad and coming in really aggressive, especially after, I guess we didn't even talk about this, LeBron, how he walked off the court before the game was even over.
Because he's a baby. Yeah, that's technical. Anybody else in the league gets a fine for that. But yeah, since that it's LeBron Balding James, he can do whatever. That's going to get me angry. I'm sorry.
That was pretty petty. I honestly, like, the way that the Lakers had to sub in a whole new squad to finish the 0.7 seconds left on the clock because all the starters walked off led by LeBron, just kind of a bad look. Yeah, maybe if they're just that angry and they're going to come in and just, like, rip the brakes off the Heat, I could see that happening, but I don't think it's the most likely thing. Honestly, the thing that I'm feeling the most is that the Lakers kind of just want to go home, honestly, and that the Heat are playing with just more heart than them at this point. Heat care more. I think the Heat just care more about the series.
No, and that's a thing that I talked about when I was talking about the Clippers. But, like, early on when the boycott thing happened, LeBron was one of the voices that didn't want to play and wanted to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, but, like, as we saw, LeBron walked off, so the rest of the starters followed. He's the guy. Anthony Davis said it at the start of the series. He said it a lot more aggressively than this. But the gist of it is he's like, I'm going to follow that guy. Like, I'm behind LeBron. Whatever he did, like, I'm with him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like... Who knows if this team still wants to be there type of thing. I'm sure LeBron knows that there's going to be a little birdie on his ear saying, hey, if you're chasing the ghost, LeBron, this is a big moment. If you're going to be chasing the ghost to MJ, you know what I mean? Like, you can't choke this if you want to be MJ type of thing.
Yeah, so, I feel like there definitely has to be some, like, conflicting feelings in him.
No, 100%.
Yeah. For sure. Just because, like, I feel like he's just missing home life like everybody and kind of just has that fatigue of it. I know he's talked about it openly how, like, he's struggling with the bubble life, like, with the just living there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then there's also the part of his legacy, which he definitely, you know, whether he says he does or not, I'm sure he definitely does care a lot about. So,
well, I mean, and he's flipped back and forth all the time, and we don't need to go into LeBron's legacy too deep, but, like, he's talked about this all the time where it's like, oh, it's when he made that comment, I'm chasing the ghost, or when, like, some reporter brought up, did you know that Michael Jordan released or gave his permission for them to make The Last Dance after you won in 2016 in Cleveland, and he, like, smiled because, like, and I was like, dude, you can't, like, do this whole, like, oh, I ain't trying, like, no, go on. Nah, man, there's no... I don't have any ulterior motives. I just want to help my team win. Like, nah, dude, get that... That's cap. Get that out of here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Also, we can also... We can talk about just how horrible they complained for every call, the Lakers.
Oh, did, my the, goodness.
This whole series, really. But, man.
It's...
That's been really annoying. Honestly, I don't know if there's a player in the league who complains more than LeBron James. Outside of maybe Kyle Lowry. Maybe.
But Kyle, but you don't hate Kyle for it.
Yeah, Kyle's kind of just...
I don't know.
He's
I
a like happy, calling him. Yeah, go he's ahead. A happy-go-lucky attitude about it. He's kind of, like, funny with it.
Well, dude, and the other thing, like, how can you hate the dude? His, like, teammate hits a game winner. Teammate, no emotion. He's over there smiling like he's 8 years old. Like, just an OG Anunoby when he hit that game winner in game three. And, like, how can you hate that guy? Like, and I get, like, he flops and he does all this type of stuff, but, like, he's just such a, like, and, like, I don't know if there's been any stories, like, Chris Paul, there's been stories that ever, like, oh, I thought Chris Paul was chill, and then you hear all these stories of how, like, people don't like him. If a story ever comes out about Kyle Lowry like that, I don't think I'm gonna believe it. I'm like, you're lying, dude. There's no way.
Yeah.
Like, he's gotta just be loved by all.
Yeah, no. I honestly believe he's a super nice guy, but I think, like, a big edge of his game is how smart he plays with the rules and stuff, and so he
and
always
flops and
yeah, so he always needs to be, like, getting the calls he wants, and so he's always playing with that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
he's like,
LeBron does it in, like, a whiny way. It's kind of annoying.
But. And I think it also helps that LeBron's, like, 6'9" or 6'7", whatever. He's a big boy, and Kyle Lowry is not.
Yeah,
he's a thick boy, but not a big boy. Anyway. Continuing on, I don't know a transition we could think of, but Doc Rivers is now the officially head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yep.
Which they is...
paid him a fat contract.
A lot of money for a coach that I don't think has ever made a team perform better than they should have, based on talent alone.
I was thinking of those comments that you've made the last... I think you've said that the last couple episodes, and the first time I couldn't think of anything, but... There is at least 1 year, and maybe even the year before that. I can't remember what the Clippers were like 2 years ago. But last year's Clippers team was a frisky 8 seed in the Western Conference playoffs and won 2 games against the Warriors at full strength. Their two leading scorers were Gallinari and Lou Williams. I think that not necessarily it was all, you know, due to Doc Rivers. I'm not saying that, but that was a scrappy, good team that I think outperformed what their expectations were. Well, they definitely did, but.
You're right. They squeaked out the 8th seed, but they won 2 games against the Warriors. Like, anyway, yeah. Okay, I will concede. Yes,
but that in terms of title contenders. You're right. Any title contending team he's had has been lower than expectations were.
It honestly might be the same conversation as you might have about Budenholzer. He can take a team that was at B or D and bring him to B, but never get him to A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of grades. Maybe Doc Rivers is the same thing. He can get a team to be like nonstop contender, make them be the Green Bay Packers of the NBA, where they're always there, they're always good, but they never really get over the hump. Like, maybe that's what, I don't know. But,
yeah.
But he's the 76ers head coach now. And one of the first things he does after getting this big old contract is says one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard. So, our friend Anthony is a 76ers fan, and we have a group chat called the National Bingo Association, to avoid copyright, obviously. And so, the...
Yep.
So, he sends this thing, and it's like, Doc, it's an article, and all... And Logan, you can talk about just something while I try to find one, because I don't want to misquote this
article. I have it right here.
Oh, if, see? Yeah. You're on top. All you. Go for it.
So, yeah, Doc Rivers said, about 7 hours ago this was published, but he had a quote saying, it clearly works when they play together, while he's talking about the Embiid and Simmons duo.
Well, this was you that sent that. I'm sorry. I miscredited who sent me this article, and it was you.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, yeah, I sent it, but Anthony, like, I'm pretty sure he agreed with it. Like, he liked that he said that.
Oh, my, what a potato.
Which,
yeah, if you ever want a good laugh, we could add as a category to what we do a comedy thing, and we'll just bring on Anthony for like 5 minutes and have him give takes about basketball. Because it's, I'm just kidding, that was really mean. But sometimes I also say stuff that's obnoxious, but I feel good about it. Uh-huh. When he says stuff, and it's always about just Philly, and I'm like, okay, dude. Like, last season, Carson Wentz was robbed of the MVP. What? That's not true. He conceded towards the end of the season, but there was a large chunk of time where he was dead set that Carson Wentz was an MVP, like, should have been the MVP. And I was like, what are you, dude, you're out of control. But anyway, literally, Anthony liked it. And then as soon as I saw it when I got off work, I said, well, Doc, he's already off to a bad start, because that is a terrible, what do you mean they work better together? There's literally, you have winning streaks when they're not playing together. When one of them's injured because they're both injury prone, you have like short winning streaks, and that's how you get to be the 5 seed. Mm-hmm. If they stayed healthy a whole season, I feel like you might miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be an interesting experiment. But like the big thing is, I saw this quote just after the last couple days, which have been filled with these rumors that I keep seeing of Doc wanting to trade Simmons to Minnesota for the first overall pick in this 2020 draft, and with that pick to select LaMelo Ball. Which I like seeing that. I was just like, why? Like, what is like? I'm okay with shopping Simmons or Embiid, either one. I think that's a good idea for sure. Simmons. But yeah, either way. But yeah, the just that one, it seems like that's probably like the one of the worst things that you could, like, obviously you could make a worse trade, but it's one of the worst trades that some people would say yes to that I can think of. It's like LaMelo Ball, I don't know what you're looking for. If you're trying, like, what do you think you're needing? What do you think you're getting from LaMelo Ball? Like, I don't understand it. I think as a Sixers fan, I would want my team to get a ball handler who can hit threes well, like efficiently, and play make with, like, I don't know, with Embiid in a pick and roll, or just get the ball to Embiid in the post and kind of create off ball.
Fred Van Vliet?
Yeah,
Fred perfect. The Toothless Van Vliet?
Perfect.
Oh, he's an and he's a free agent. But he loves Toronto, and Toronto loves him.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hard bond to break. Yeah. But they did it with DeMar DeRozan, so who knows?
True. But LaMelo Ball does not, like, even though people might think he's a good three-point shooter, I don't know if people really think that or not, just because he hits, like, cool-looking ones, his percentages are not good, and he has an awful free-throw percentage. His free-throw percentage, while he's been playing over in either New Zealand or Australia, I don't remember where he plays, but it's been worse than his brother Lonzo, who's one of the worst free throw shooters in the NBA. And in the NBA, your free throw percentage really kind of shows how much potential you have as a shooter in general. Kind of a statistically proven thing. It's how much touch you have, like, in that range is it can you can extend that out to become a better shooter out there. And if you're awful from the free throw line, it's a much harder task to get you to be a good 3-point shooter.
That's why I've actually bet my entire life savings that Brad Wanamaker is one of the best 3-point shooters of all time. he shoots like 94% from the free throw line.
Oh, does he really?
No, it's like I'll look it up. It's like mid-90s. Like, it's just, maybe it's 92. I will look it up right now.
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that trade with Simmons for LaMelo Ball would just be kind of whack. They'd have to have a lot of other stuff in there.
Yeah, Brad Wanamaker, 92%.
Like, on the season?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty ridiculous. I would not have expected that.
Yeah, and then the rest of the names, like Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Bojan Bogdanovic, the Jazz one. I can't say. There's so many that are close. That's not fair, but, like, I just suck at names. Chris Middleton, Gallinari, like, all these really good Dame Lillard, Brogdon, Redick, all these great shooters, and then Brad Wanamaker to to top off the list.
Wow. That's funny. But yeah, that Simmons for the first pick, even if they don't take LaMelo Ball, Simmons for the first pick does not sound good to me. Like, there's got to be a lot more in that. I'm sure there probably would be. But, like, I've seen articles of, like, people, analysts and people from ESPN that were kind of, like, gauging GMs and front office members on how likely it would be that someone would take in a trade Duncan Robinson and trade away this year's first overall pick or a player of that caliber, like, kind of like putting in different role players and seeing, like, if different front office members would actually agree to be like, yeah, I'd rather have that guy than the first overall pick this year.
Yeah.
And cause that's just the type of year this is. There's not really a guy that you're like, that's the first overall pick, or even like top three. Really, a lot of these guys are kind of like mid lottery range that are going to end up at the top. But there's just a lot of those guys as you go throughout. This is a pretty deep draft. It's just top. It's just not top heavy whatsoever.
It gets up to like 70. Like, if like 100 is like those guys that you're like, this guy could be goated. Like, you're like super excited about this guy. That's 100. You get up to like 70 and then you flatline for a really long time. Like, there's guys that are like, you know, he could have a role. I don't want him to be my team's primary scorer, but he could have a role.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you and like, as a rookie, step in, get some, like, there's a lot of guys that you like that. But not a lot that I'm like, yeah, this guy's going to carry my franchise over the hump.
For sure.
Which I think is a great thing, because that means the Warriors, who didn't tank because they didn't do it on purpose, but like just with injuries, are going to be one of the best teams in the NBA next year. And they would have literally, if it would have been one of those drafts where it's like you get a generational talent, that's how like accidents happen. Like, oh, wow, we accidentally created a 20-year dynasty because we just handed them the next generational talent because people got hurt. That'd be terrible. Anyway.
Yeah. But I guess to wrap this section up, I would just go out on a limb and say if they keep the roster pretty similarly to how it's constructed, especially with the top paid players on this roster with the Sixers, I'm willing to bet they won't have a much better season this year than they have the past couple.
Okay. I've seen this, and Anthony gets super excited about Brad Beal. But, okay, this is a little bit of going to be aggressive towards Ben Simmons. I don't think he can be, carry a franchise to a high playoff, deep playoff run with his play style. I don't think that he's built for this era of the NBA. He's scared to shoot the three. Like, Rondo is a bad three-point shooter. But guess what? He's not scared to shoot the three. We've seen that in the playoffs. And you know in the NBA, guys are chirping at each other. So I guarantee, like, Ben Simmons, it's in his head. He can shoot threes. He's an NBA player. He can hit some threes, and you see him in practice. Oh, he hit 15 threes in a row in practice. But he can't hit any in games. It's all in his head. And, like, if he can't get over that, GMs are going to figure that out. I'm sure they already know, but, like, they hope that their guy can be the one that gets it to, like, for him to finally get past it. So you can't just blatantly disrespect his three-point shot. Because, like, yeah. I use Rondo as an example because he's, like, not the same. It's weird, but, like, minus the rebounds, they kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
They drive really well, they play make really well, and they don't shoot very well.
I mean, yeah, they're both, like, triple-double type threats. I wouldn't even take the rebounding out of that. It's just Ben Simmons is a bigger
version. It's just a bigger guy, yeah. And so, like, but Rondo, and I think this playoffs is a perfect example. And one of the guys I work with at Jimmy John said it, and he said it as like, Rondo's just not scared to take the three. If you say shoot it, he'll be like, okay. And he doesn't hit it all the time, as we talked about last time, last episode, which you should go look at if you want to, if you haven't seen it already, heard, listened to it already. But yeah, no, I think that I just would, if I was a GM, I would not touch Ben Simmons. I would be like, I'm good.
That's fair.
Unless I had some other team that was like, oh, we'd really like Ben Simmons, and they had some piece I wanted, mm-hmm. I'd happily be a middleman, but I wouldn't want to get Ben Simmons, have to pay him, and then figure out. And there's some teams that like are built to have a guy like Ben Simmons, which we also talked about last episode, and I looked into it. I agree with you. But do you think the Bucks are going to be like, you know what we need to add? Ben Simmons. I feel like that's not what the Bucks would want.
Oh, no. Yeah, not the Bucks. You would need
a team that's built like the Bucks minus Giannis, and I just don't know if there's a team
you
like
trade,
that.
You trade in. I'm saying one of these bad teams could acquire Ben Simmons and turn their team into something like that. I mean, he would take that Draymond role to another level for sure.
That would be so disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah.
Now.
You see the value in Ben Simmons when you think of that,
no,
right?
I see there's value, but there's so much you have to be put around him.
I guess I can understand that, but the thing is, like the main weak. I agree with you that the main weaknesses he has is in his shooting. And for him to be like come to that next level of being a superstar, he does need to start shooting threes. I think that's a thing that he needs to do for sure.
Yeah.
But I think this is one of the worst situations that he could have been in for this early part of his career. That weakness to be like the biggest, like the most burdensome. He's on one of the worst rosters for having that weakness, and he's still a really good player.
That's fair. No, okay, I'm with you. I'm tracking now.
And
my Ben Simmons hate has been lessened, but not gone.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at what Jimmy Butler did last night, he didn't attempt a single three. And he had 40 points. He had a 40-point triple-double. If you have the Heat supporting cast, if you switch out Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler, I'm not saying that they'd be as good as the Heat. I'm just saying system-wise, it'd be a similar type of thing. Yeah. Minus, like, Ben Simmons doesn't have quite, like, the mid-range scoring that Jimmy does. But let's say you swap out Ben Simmons and Adebayo. I think that's a better trade-off because I think play style, they're more similar than Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler. But, I think there's
But then there you seems... get down to the nitty-gritty of technically that's doing the same thing. You have two guys that need the paint to be mm-hmm. dominant, and they're your two best players.
Yeah,
and that
I mean, which the Heat do well just because of their off-ball movement, their handoff sequences where they can cut a lot. They cut more than any other team in the NBA. And if Eric Spoelstra was the coach of the Sixers, I think he could make that roster work, honestly.
But they had Brett Brown.
Yeah, they don't have, and now they have Doc Rivers, who is also not a X and O's guy, really. I mean,
he's a motivational speaker.
Yeah, so they really need like a Greg Popovich or an Eric Spoelstra or a Brad Stevens to even have an idea or a Nick Nurse. I don't want to leave anybody out of there. But
Brad Stevens would be dead to me if he went to Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that
is
type
the only
of guy.
Person.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true.
I still love Al. Good old Al.
And yeah, Sixers fans would happily give him back. I'm sure.
I don't know if I want him back for that much money.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't think anybody would. But thing. Elton Brand needs to be out of there too. Honestly, their GM, just because of the contracts and decisions he's made just in the past year and a half has been catastrophic.
Okay. Also, before we go, Elton Brand does need to be fired. But the Al Horford thing, people thought it was a little high, but that wasn't like a super dumb. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That wasn't like a super, like, why on the Lord's good earth would you pay?
I agree, but I think it was a combination of all those things. It was the signing and trading Jimmy Butler to the Heat. Well, for Josh Richardson and signed him to a huge contract. And then also
that was stupid.
signing Tobias Harris to a max contract.
That was also stupid.
And then signing Al Horford to, what does he get paid? Like 20 mil a year? Something like that. But it was kind of a combination of all those things, and also choosing those contracts over over choosing J.J. Redick again.
Yeah, so...
how much does Al get paid?
I wish it was 20 for the Sixers. It's $28 million.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wow.
That's rough. It does go down as he gets older. So it's 28 this year, 27.5 next year, 27 the year after that, and then 26.5.
Yeah, so you got him for a whole 4 years. He'll probably be a corpse by then, but...
honestly, I feel like he won't retire. He'll stay just to collect his bag and then leave.
Yeah, then be done.
Do you think he has a team that he wants to retire with? Do you think he's like, I'm coming back to Atlanta?
I doubt it. I don't think he has
a team that he's attached to.
Unless maybe he wants to go to the Bulls. Oh, that could be a thing. But I guess Zach LaVine, like I remember we talked about, you think Chicago wouldn't let go of Zach LaVine.
I think Chicago loves Zach LaVine and Zach LaVine loves Chicago.
Yeah, but I mean that's a place where he could go and be with his, you know, college coach that he loves, Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But anyways, with the Sixers, like they just made a bunch of bad decisions. And it all just kind of piled up, and I don't know if I added it on there at the end, but them choosing all of those contracts over J.J. Redick as well.
That was the biggest oof.
Yeah. Well, that and I think that and Jimmy for sure. I think if they chose Jimmy over Tobias Harris, and if they just signed J.J. Redick and instead of Al Horford or I don't know something like that, they'd be in a much better position.
Straight talent wise, yes. But would you like what Jimmy Butler did yesterday? Then you'd have three of your five starters that can't Jimmy Butler can shoot threes, but he doesn't.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's a poor 3-point shooter. He hits big ones at times, kind of like what Westbrook and LeBron do. But he's not, you know, he's not a shooter. But I think last year was the best Sixers team that they've had this past decade. You know?
Yes.
And that was built around Simmons, Embiid, Jimmy Butler, and then Tobias Harris, who was not a spot-up shooter. All that shooting came from Redick, really. And I guess they just had so much firepower that they still had a chance, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not ideal, but like they just have that much talent to where if one of them gets going and they need to be doubled, they have just so much to hurt you on the backside. Like stat wise for sure, Jimmy Butler would probably be averaging like 17 points per game, the same with like Ben Simmons would probably be like 15 points per game. Like, so they wouldn't, individually, it probably wouldn't be the best situations for them, but they'd have so much just to...
As a team. Yeah. Kind of the same problem the Celtics, like, no, they're very rarely does a Celtics guy, like, above and beyond per game on a year, but, like, everyone gets, like, 20. Mm-hmm. There's, like, three or four guys that go get 20. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that kind of exploded. That was a very good conversation. I enjoyed 99% of that.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. But yeah, good for Doc. I think, you know, he definitely deserved a spot in this league.
Yes, a million percent.
And with the Clippers, where he just left, I heard Chris Vernon say this on the Ringer NBA show, which I feel like I've been quoting him a lot when we've done podcasts together, which is kind of weird just because, I don't know, I feel like I don't quote him more than I quote other people, but it just kind of turned out that way. One of the quotes he had though was like, he believes like Doc Rivers is a guy that when you fire him, you're more likely to do worse with your next head coach than you are to do better. He thinks that he's in that echelon of guy. Like he thinks there's coaches in the league better than him, but not as many. Yeah,
like out of 30, he's like
12. Yeah, 10 or 12, something like that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. That makes sense. Where he's not that top echelon where, like, you're not going to find a guy better than him. But, like, yeah, no, I really agree with that. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so And with the Clippers, their job search for the head coach, I've heard stuff all over the place. And, you know, Steve Ballmer is like, he's the richest owner in the NBA, I'm pretty sure, by like a good margin. And there's no salary cap to head coaching positions. So I think he's really just fired up enough to throw money away at somebody that he really, you know, he'll just get whoever he wants, really. And I've heard like rumors about him even going completely out of the box and aiming for apparently Coach K and Calipari.
What?
Which would be very interesting.
That would be so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like basketball is one of the hardest sports in the jump from college to professional.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because the whole game changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, football, it's the same game. The talent's just different.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in basketball, you don't run the zone. In the end, like, Heat are, so that's a bad example. But, like,
yeah.
The zone is college. It moves in and out. Mm-hmm. It is college. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, there's so many, like, little things and big things that change from college to NBA that it just, like, and I say that being a fan of a team that has a college head coach, formal college head coach.
Which,
but, like,
yeah.
That yeah. is also a freak example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I was just about to point out, like, the track record for college coaches, even, like, prestigious ones coming up to the NBA, which usually they have to be prestigious to even do that.
Yeah.
But the track record's not good. The only ones that are in the NBA right now that I think, like, were, like, really good college coaches before coming up are Brad Stevens and Billy Donovan. And Billy Donovan just got fired from his job. But I think Billy Donovan is a good coach. I don't know really what the learning curve was for him, really, when he entered the league and how good he did right away. But Brad Stevens is really the only example of, like, having immediate success coming into the league.
And just not even just, like, team success, like, coaching success. Like, we're, like, they mm-hmm. won games because of his coaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, every time they play the Sixers, almost.
Yeah. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Steve Ballmer goes with this. I know that in the rumors, they keep listing Ty Lue as an option, which I feel like he's kind of like a backup option for them. If they haven't signed him at this point, you know?
Yeah.
They probably would've just, for sure.
They would have went and got him because the money's not a problem type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They would have went and got him if they needed him.
Yeah. I just don't think that he's their first choice.
Yeah.
And I've even heard rumors of apparently Steve Ballmer has reached out to Phil Jackson to come back and to coach again.
Oh, that would be insane.
He's like
not because of like good, but just because of like the storyline.
Yeah.
The battle for LA just got that much heftier.
Yeah. I doubt that would happen though. He's like, what is he, like 78, 79? He's like really getting up there. I think the oldest coach in the NBA right now is Popovich, and he's like 73. But there's also rumors of Popovich, that he's going to pay Popovich whatever he wants, or trade for him, because Popovich has one more year on his deal. And they could do something like that.
I guess.
Yeah, I also heard like...
Popovich doesn't really give emotion. Does he like San Antonio, or is it just he's been there and he's seen no reason to leave?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I think it'd be cool to see. It'd be interesting to see him leave and go to a contender and see what he can do. But yeah, I guess I don't know. But I also heard that, like, for a trade, I heard some people joking. They were talking about trading Paul George for a coach.
But my thing. I don't think you could put Popovich and Kawhi in the same building.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the one thing I was going to bring up. I don't know how much of that is media portraying them as having a really big beef.
Rocky
still.
Relationship.
Yeah.
But like, there was things like in actual interviews where Popovich is like, I've never had a player do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Popovich was disappointed at him, yeah, but I don't know how much they, like, hold that personally towards each other.
Or if it was just like we couldn't make things work, but we still chill,
Yeah. But anyways, whatever happens there, I'm sure it's going to be interesting. But we've talked about basketball long enough. And I'll definitely flip it over to Jacob for the NFL stuff, which I've heard there's some pretty spicy stuff to talk about.
So I have never liked Bill O'Brien. I think he's a guy. So no one has ever put it better than past me. So this is a episode of the Jacob Ross Show, which is no longer existing, from like right after the Super Bowl when I did my way too early team rankings, like right when Bill O'Brien got hired as GM. So I will roll that clip right now. Texans, you made Bill O'Brien your general manager. Let me hold up how many times that's worked for any franchise that I can think of. You know what this one is? This one has 6 rings and it's Bill Belichick. No one else can... Yeah, that's it, Texans. Shame. Shame. Disappointment. Okay. Well put, Jacob, in February. So yeah, I've never really liked Bill O'Brien. He got fired today. Week 4, weird time. I didn't really understand the time. I was like, that's weird, kind of. Like, but maybe they're just all that done. Like, just... And it's also kind of not fair because they had a really hard starting schedule. They had to play Pittsburgh, and then they had to play... they started with KC, then they went to Baltimore, and then they played Pittsburgh, which are arguably the 3 best teams in the AFC. Like, you didn't have an easy start, but you also traded away DeAndre Hopkins, so I don't really have sympathy, Bill O'Brien. So, yeah, that's the big news today. He got fired today. But, yeah. This is a thing that's, like, in the NBA, there's all these young guys that are coming out. Like, you know what? Like, the Lucas and the Trey Youngs and the people that weren't part of that trade. I'm blanking names. Why can't I think of young NBA players?
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Devin Booker.
Yeah. Yes. Those names as well. But, like, in the NFL, I've always been, like, there's been a lot less, like, young names that I get really excited about. Just, I think a big part of it is because the NFL, like, there's all these names that haven't changed. Like, the NBA, the guys that I watched growing up, quote-unquote, they've all, like, they're gone. They're done. Not all of them, but, like, LeBron's still there, but, like, D-Wade retired, and Nowitzki retired, and the big 3 in Boston have all retired. So all these guys are done that when I started paying attention. But for football, the guys that I started paying attention to are still there. Like, there's still Drew Brees. There's still, like, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was a little bit late to the party, but there's all these guys that are still there, and there hasn't been, like, the full flip Tom Brady of, like, players. So the NFL feels to me a lot older because that, like, those big names are still there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But this young wave of quarterbacks is extremely exciting to me. Justin Herbert went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, and it was wonderful. He had some really nice throws. I'm not anti-Tom Brady. Like, I want to see them both succeed. I want to see both of them do well enough that people can't say Belichick was only good because of Brady, and Brady was only good because he was with Belichick in his system. Like, I want them both to succeed enough individually that haters can just go away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, like, Herbert was a good example. I'm trying to think of another young guy that I was like, let's go. Joe Burrow. Let's get in his first dub. Uh-huh. He's just a fun dude to watch. His team is 1-2-1, but, like, that's not his fault. Like, I didn't do the math before because I, like, kind of forgot to, but, like, I know in week 3 he got sacked 9 times and didn't throw a pick. That's, like, insane to not throw a pick. And then tonight, the man, the myth, the legend, the former Auburn Tiger, Jared Stidham for the New England Patriots, stepped in the absence of Cam. First drive threw a touchdown and then threw 2 picks. One of the picks was not his fault at all. Julian Edelman, like, pretty much handed it to stinking Tyrann Mathieu, and Mathieu ran it in for a pick 6. And then the next pick was a little bit more suspicious, but Stidham was not near as exciting as the actual young futures of the NFL. But it was still nice to see young guys succeed. Atlanta's, as we're talking right now, Atlanta's losing, kind of moving on to the next thing. Atlanta's losing Green Bay. I told Logan that It was close when we started. It is now 20-3, so it's not close. Green Bay has the lead in that one, so Aaron Rodgers is doing his thing. I think he has 3 touchdowns. Yeah, 3 touchdowns. Just kind of winning. So that's fun. But, yeah, so that's kind of been what I'm trying to think of. Arizona looked really bad. I need to do a better job of making, like, formulated points for football instead of just going through, like, my brain going a million miles a minute. Arizona, people was all excited about them, and now they looked really bad against a very not great Carolina Panthers team without Christian McCaffrey. So that was really bad. The Bears lost finally. The Bears were the worst 3-win team in the NFL, and now they've finally lost. So that's good. They lost to the Philip Rivers-led Colts. And Philip Rivers, it was super funny. There was a clip of him talking mad trash. As he was going up to call the final timeout before they went to, like, ice the game. It just made me laugh. It was super funny. Philip Rivers is one of the guys that, like, if you don't watch football and you want to see some funny stuff, just Google Philip Rivers talking trash. He's like, it's never, like, explicit. It's always just like, well, sometimes it is, but, like, it's always just like, he got you there, didn't he? Oh, he got you on that route 2-8. And he's, like, yelling at people, and it's just funny. Philadelphia finally got a real win. So that's good for Anthony and all Philly fans in general. They beat the Niners, which have been underperforming, unfortunately. But they had a lot of injuries week one.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Jimmy, Garoppolo out? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Nick Mullins, the former Golden Eagle of Southern Mississippi. I don't know why. I feel like I just need to say those things to make myself, like, not forget it. So, like, it ever comes up in trivia, Nick Mullins was the backup to Jimmy Garoppolo and started 4 games his entire NFL career. Where did he go to college? If that's ever a question at trivia night, guess what? Back of my hand, I do know it. He sauced up Nebraska 1 year.
Yeah.
I think it was his sophomore year. Anyway, that's kind of my football thing. I don't really have anything that deep.
Yeah.
The Thursday night games, granted, they're two bad teams slapping into each other, but they've been fun games to watch thus far.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx them, but thus far they've been very fun games to watch. So, yeah. Logan, do you have any input? How's your fantasy team going? So, Logan, I don't know if he said it on any of the podcasts, but Logan's fantasy team, like, scores the most points, like, total, but he always, like, goes up against the guy that's, like, the highest that week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, through the first 3 weeks, I was leading my league in scoring, but I was 1-2. And, like, the people that were, like, 3-0 were, like, right in the middle of the pack in our league in terms of, like, total points, but they just caught lucky weeks. This week, however, I did not score very much at all, and I went up against the second leading scorer in our league. So I'm glad I went up against some really tough competition on a week that I just could not catch a break. So I was projected to beat my competition at the start of this week, but it ended up being 130-83.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I was projected to beat him by, like, 12. I was projected to score, like, 105 or something like that, ended up only scoring 83. Even though Melvin Gordon went off for me. And Josh Allen didn't do bad, but I guess did I have him starting? I did not have him starting. I had Kyler Murray starting over him.
Oh, and that did not go great.
Yeah. So, that's a big part of it, probably, but... Yeah, I'm just want, even though I don't know much about, the NFL, I just want to do well in fantasy football, and I usually just listen to the projections, and it seems like I'd be better off just completely guessing sometimes, because the projections are usually way off. I think especially this year, just because, at least I've heard it talked about, that this year's just really hard to predict because of the... weird off season that we had and the weird start to the season that we had, but
yeah. I will, we'll make a football man out of you yet. So you can be more and just, I don't know. We'll make you watch more football.
Yeah, no, I think I would have gotten into this year a little bit more. If the Broncos weren't garbage because they lost like a big, portion of their impact players. Just because I think I should just stick Denver for the teams I cheer for. And when I was a kid, I liked the Denver Broncos. That was my favorite team. So, yeah, it just kind of sucks trying to get into it when the team I want to root for is just bad. But
yeah, I got kind of lucky.
Yeah.
Neither of my teams have ever really been bad. They've never been, like, sometimes they haven't been great. Like the Celtics had that Jeff Green leading scorer year, but we don't talk about that. But, like, yeah, it could be worse. Anyway. Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
I think that's all I got for football. I'll come more prepared next episode if we have football listeners. But, yeah, you know what we forgot to do, Logan? I can't believe we did this again.
What did we forget to do, Jacob?
We forgot to remind the beautiful people listening, if they're on YouTube, to like, comment, and subscribe. And on Spotify, follow so they get notifications whenever we finally get something uploaded. I can't believe we forgot to do that.
Yeah, be sure to do that. It really means a lot to get, like, feedback. And also just to know that people care.
No, just any form of affection means so much.
Yeah.
The numbers fuel me. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
To be honest, I really like compliments, so just send them my way.
And I prefer negative input. So, regardless of what you want to say, say it. Because then one of us will feel better about ourselves.
Yep.
Anyway, so, yeah, like, comment, subscribe, follow.
We'll probably
get something figured out. Oh, yeah, oh, you go.
I was just going to say, hopefully you liked this first episode of the Next Man Up podcast. We'll definitely get more structured as we go along. I think by default we'll record probably like Mondays, like we have been.
Yeah.
I think this will be basically a weekly podcast. Unless something crazy happens and we both are able to record.
We'll just jump onto a quick, like, definitely won't be as long unless it's, honestly, our conversations kind of ramble.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we'll put some more structure in it. Yeah. Depends, I guess, on really what our vision is going forward, but
yeah,
we're very thankful for anybody that's just along for the ride. And yeah, like Jacob said, like, comment, and subscribe. We'll be talking about, you know, more finals coverage next episode, which I think hopefully the finals isn't over by then. But yeah,
okay, let's do this. If it goes to a game 7, we'll do an emergency episode.
Yeah.
Like the night of game 6 or like the next day, we'll do an emergency episode for if we need to.
Yeah.
So you guys can get our input because you value it so greatly.
Yeah, for sure. And then we still have NFL for sure, because that's coming in full swing for the season.
Yeah.
We'll really dive into that. I'll even study up on stuff. I'll get good questions to ask Jacob, just kind of treat him as like the guy, the wellspring of knowledge. kind of, I guess, ask predictions on things, and stuff like that. Try to make it interesting. Talk about college football as well. That's coming up.
Yep.
For Nebraska, for Big Ten.
And yeah, and if you guys have any questions as well, like if you guys want to ask Logan, what do you think the Nuggets need? Like, you know, like any kind of question, whatever, we'll be happy to answer. Or if it's even not a sports question, like what's your favorite type of, anyway,
just I love questions in general. Yeah.
Yeah, questions are important. So I think that's all we got for today. You ready to send us out, Logan?
Yeah. Just like Jacob said before, you know, like and subscribe. Hopefully you like the dope intro music and all this new graphics and stuff that we have up on the page. I had our buddy Landon make that logo that you're seeing. But yeah, hopefully we'll see you guys next episode and come packing with stuff. Just a loaded episode to talk about stuff. But yeah, as always, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Adios, amigos.